Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Zach.
I'm Annie.
And I'm Maddie.
And guys, I'm back in my whoopee bag.
Yes.
The View Roundtable continues to turn. Instead of As the World Turns, this is As About Bravo Turns. It's very soap opera as of late. I'm sure you guys all listened to last week's episode of the podcast where we got back from BravoCon. BravoCon nearly killed me. Like, and also, mind you, I only went for one day. Okay. And BravoCon nearly destroyed me. Reed is absolutely right. It was like a Housewives cast trip. I won't go into too many details, but there was definitely some explosive drama on the It's About Bravo cast.
The voice memos and the side text me and Annie were probably both getting all weekend long.
Yeah.
It'd be like one group chat firing off and then it gets side text. Another group chat firing off, another side text. I'm like, low key glad I'm not there.
No, like I was, okay, so when I was watching the past two episodes of It's About Beverly Hills, I was getting like triggered.
Same thing.
It's pretty much that's I'm going into that. Yeah, I'm going into the episode of It's About Bravo, the cast trip to Vegas, BravoCon. Yeah. It was truly like Sutton and Kyle when they were like arguing through like the lobby, like walking through like the casinos and the hotels and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "No, you're being a bitch." I was like, "Let me just tell you, that is what
flashback."
It's like we were leaving Hakkasan, and it was like crazy. It was just, oh my gosh. But
well, who was being a bitch?
My lips are sealed. I will tell you, I stayed relatively, I was very much, you know, I come at the neutral girls on casts. Yeah. I was very much the Cynthia Bailey. I was very much Eileen Davidson. I very much was just a watcher of the drama. I did not partake. Now, when it comes to,
would you maybe apologize to some people?
I don't need to apologize to anybody, but I will tell you that the other two co-hosts that were in attendance of BravoCon will be sitting next to Andy Cohen if there wasn't a About Bravo reunion. They would both secure seats. My friend Britt Vo, she scored a friend of role on the cast trip. It was super fun. We had a great time, and shout out to one of our listeners, Robbie. He's amazing because he hit me up while we were in Vegas and was like, "Hey, I have two passes for Sunday for you." And
wow.
I was like, "Oh my God." Like,
we put the back signal out on that one. We put the back signal
out. I'm telling you, we said it on the podcast. We were like, we're just going to go there with positive vibes, positive thoughts, good energy. And you know what? The worst energy possible took place on that vacation, but we still got our tickets.
Wow. Shout out to Robbie.
So that was, it was, but all in all, the trip ended swell. Mo and Colson did a phenomenal job with Madison. We met some Bravo loves. We had lots of fun. It was a good time, but it did have its like, I could cut up a trailer really quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. If there was footage.
We got a sneak peek preview. We got a sneak peek preview on the group chat for sure.
It would be really good. You know, like everyone on Twitter would be like, "Gag! Oh my gosh, the girls are eating the season." It was crazy. But with that being said, let's get into some real Bravo stuff. So there's not really much to talk about on That's My Opinion, but I do have opinions on the new season of Married to Medicine, and I know that Maddie does too. We're going to give you guys like a Patreon episode where we dive more deep into it, but we just want to give you a quick little advert on why we think that this is currently the best airing show on Bravo. I'm not even kidding. Now, Dr. Jackie, Dr. Simone, Dr. Heather, Toy, Libra. And Annie, you need to hop on board. I know you got a lot with the drag race and the other Bravo stuff. I mean, we're drowning in Bravo content right now. I literally can't keep my head above water. But the Married to Medicine girls are giving us old Real Housewives of Atlanta. And it is truly...
It's so funny. It's so easy to watch. It's such a light watch. Like, it's something that I don't have to, like, think about watching. I had a weekend... I was at a music festival this weekend, and when I got home Monday, I'm like, first show I want to watch is Married to Medicine, because I just know I'm going to enjoy it. I know I'm going to laugh. I know I'm not going to like think too much about it. I don't know why all these ladies are just bringing it.
It's giving that like old Atlanta feel where I could belly laugh watching it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and it's not even like the stuff isn't super deep. It's nothing crazy. When you have people who are so unself-aware, like Sweet Tea. It's just like, like that, like that just, it just makes me so like happy. Like that whole entire scene where like, just like the goofiness.
When she's trying on the wedding dress.
But she's trying on the wedding dresses was so old school reality television that I was just loving.
I really don't think like Phaedra and Heavenly are even trying to be funny.
No, I don't think so.
That's the thing. Like they are literally just like having their commentary and it's, I'm gagging. Like I'm laughing so hard.
So
at, like,
hard.
Phaedra saying, ooh, you might, you know, we're going to have to get you a girdle in that one.
I just was dying when she's like, so how long have you all known it? Where'd you guys meet? And Sweet Tea's friend goes, oh, we met on like a little support group on Facebook for like older men. She's like, oh, so y'all are called sugar babies? And then Sweet Tea peeks around, we're not a sugar baby. It's not called a sugar. Like that was.
And Phaedra's like, yeah, and actually, that's what actually, you're called, a sugar baby.
You're actually called a sugar baby.
And y'all are what they call sugar babies.
It's not a sugar baby.
It's not a sugar baby.
What are you?
It's just age gap relationships.
Age gap.
But the name of it is sugar babies.
It is.
No, it's
no,
not.
No.
Wait, what is it called?
It's an age gap support group.
Baby. And Phaedra's 1,000% right. And then her and Heavenly absolutely losing their shit when Sweet Tea gets up and the tag is still on the dress. It was just,
like she's not married yet. She has to take it back.
I love when Heavenly was like, she's not gold digging. She's like, she's not digging that high. She's copper. I was just like, oh my gosh, Heavenly's shade is so unmatched. Then you have like just these women, they're just so, they can get fired up like really easily. Like Simone, like Dr. Simone can get fired up.
Yes.
And then you even have like Dr. Jackie, who mind you looks stunning.
Dr. Jackie is the voice of reason. So that's when she's like, when she's being shady or something, it's so much more funny because she almost has hilarious. Like a like analytical approach about it. Like,
it's
I don't
like
know
Annie.
Why. It's just so, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, analytical?
It's very Annie core. It's very Annie coded. It's like
so
someone
smart.
Who's like, their humor is like super dry. But it's like, when that person says something, it takes you a second to hear it. And then when you hear it, you're like, that was really funny.
Yeah,
that was really
funny.
Fucking funny. And it's always a smart read. It's always like something like, it's like a double entendre usually.
Yep.
It's like something where it's like very like, you got your degree for that one. You know?
Literally. So that's like, I just feel like the cast is really, and Married to Medicine has been good. Last year I watched it for the very first time from season 1. And season 1 even, it like pops off. Because all the women are so, they're so dynamic and they just, I feel like a lot of them have been friends for so long, and this cast really hasn't changed that much in however many seasons it's been. There's been a few ones that'll like join in or they'll leave, but there's like a solid group of 4 that have been there since the very beginning. So it runs deep, their drama. And it's just, if you're not watching it, like any listeners, if you're not watching it, you can jump in on this season and still enjoy it.
You can jump in on the season and you're not going to question. You're not going to have like major questions. Like,
they do a lot of flashbacks. They give you like the
truly just, if you want to just jump in and like get your Phaedra, you know, dose, which I'm not even saying like, yes, Phaedra is adding like such a great, like she's such a great part of this cast and she's integrated so smoothly because she's known these women forever. But like, the whole cast like carries, like it's like,
yes,
not just fair. It's not Phaedra like carrying the cast. And Maddie said this like, very perfectly the other day in one of our group chats. She was like, listen, like Phaedra would be coming on to Real Housewives of Atlanta to save Real Housewives of Atlanta. But Phaedra is coming on to just give like Married to Medicine, like a little something, like a cherry on top.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah. She's not
it's
having
like
to do that much heavy lifting. She just is mm-mm. plopped in and it's working.
And she's doing the Lord's work by meeting with Quad at the beginning episode, meeting with Dr. G at the end of the episode, and then bringing Quad to Dr. G's new fiancés.
Next week's Sunday's episode is gonna pop off. I can't wait
for Quad
to be back, like in the mix of it. And Quad, I believe you said this, Zach, or maybe it was even Elvis, but Quad and Phaedra have the freaking frack energy.
They have
Phaedra
frack
and
energy.
Portia. Mm-hmm. Like when Phaedra was at Quad's door and they're like dropping it low and just twerking like at the door, I'm like, this is such freaking frack energy.
And that's like the thing that I feel like Atlanta is missing is that, like, they, I feel like they just all hate each other.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like no one on Atlanta, like there was, like, super good friendships. Like, you had the NeNe Kim friendship. Yeah, I was a friend of me. Like, but when they were good, they were good. When they were bad, they were bad.
Same with
you
had Phaedra Porsche,
like, NeNe Cynthia. You had those, like, real friendships. And, like, I don't think Sanya is friends with a single person in that group. I don't think none of them want to be friends with Sanya. I don't think Drew is really friends with anybody. I think maybe Kenya and Candy are the closest to a friendship on Atlanta.
Well, like, what you said was really true, because it's kind of like, if they're good, they're good. When they're bad, because even if these people aren't getting along, like, they at least were friends at one point. So them not getting along is more interesting. Like Sanya not getting along with, you know, Kenya, it's like not interesting, because it's like they
don't care.
Like,
yeah.
And Kenya doesn't care.
She didn't have her number saved in her fucking phone. Like, so who cares?
Exactly.
Kenya literally doesn't give a fuck. And so it's like, I don't know. But anyways, that is my, like, that's my favorite show on Bravo right now. Like, currently out of what's airing, like Maddie said, she was like, the first show I'm turning on is Married to Medicine. It is truly, if you want a belly laugh, which you're probably missing the belly laughs, you just missed them on Atlanta. They weren't on last season, and it doesn't look like they're popping up on Potomac anytime soon. We'll get into that. But if you want some belly laughs, you should really watch Married to Medicine, because it's delivering the belly laughs. So that's all my opinions on Married to Medicine. And I'm pleading to every second Annie needs to watch, and we need to get Modesto to watch too, because I know his ads would be crazy.
He would love it. He'd eat that shit up.
I'm like, just fucking watch. He watched about 8 Bravo shows today, and none of them were Married to Medicine. And I've been like, sit your ass down and watch Married to Medicine. You don't even need to watch season 1. You can watch episode 1 from season 10, and it will be fine. So, anyways, I think that's all before we segue into the next portion. Anything you guys want to provide?
Yeah, actually, I did want to talk about this new app that we just discovered this week. It's called SideChat, and it's actually kind of like Reddit, kind of like Twitter, but it's exclusively for Real Housewives fans, and it's also anonymous, so it's kind of really fun. I kind of feel like we're getting, like, the juiciest tea on this app as opposed to any other social media, because I personally know, like, certain content creators that are friends with people that work for Bravo, friends with people that are actually Real Housewives, and they'll never really post, like, the tea on their social media because they don't want to get, like, in trouble for posting it. And I feel like because it's all anonymous on SideChat, they are able to. I've already seen kind of rumblings of, like, casting for next season of Roni, like, that kind of stuff. It's super fun, and you actually have to have, like, a code to get into it anyway, so it's, like, a little bit more exclusive as well. But we got a code, and you guys can actually use our code. It's About Housewives. So we're gonna actually, I think, put a link to this in the episode notes. We're also gonna have a link on our Instagram, our TikTok our TikTok and our Twitter, and then we'll also, you can just go to the App Store, download SideChat, SideChat, and then it'll ask you for a code, and you can put the code in.
It's About Housewives.
It's super fun, so get into it.
Period. That sounds really good, because honestly, like, I want an app that's exclusively for the content that I want to talk about. It's, you know, like, on Twitter, sometimes I have to sift through and find, I mean, most of it, you know.
Yes, like your For You page, you know, like, it's mostly Housewives, but then I have to sit through some other bullshit. Like, just go on there. It's just a For You page, just only Housewives. It's great.
And that's kind of cool, because we get some information, like, being like a Bravo account. We get a lot of tea. Yeah. And we can't.
I'm saying wink, wink, bitch.
maybe we'll side chat it.
Yeah. I'm going to be side chatting it, bitch.
We're going on side chat, babes. Okay, sign up. So you heard Annie. That's a great source. So let's get into some more tea. We are going to first dive into the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Come in when you haven't even heard the whole story.
I actually am very offended when you say that.
Okay. I saw my friend in distress, upset. I go over there and then you say, you insert yourself. By the way, you. That's rude. You have a habit of losing your in ridiculous circumstances too.
Name them.
That what?
Name them.
Well,
name
what you did was ridiculous.
Name them.
Not having.
Name
well, be quiet. So name let
them.
Me talk, Jesus.
Name them.
I
name them.
Don't know if you're okay, actually.
Name them.
Are you okay?
Name them.
Stop doing that. You're being incredibly, incredibly rude.
How am I being rude?
Well, if you don't see that.
I don't understand the word rude.
You want me to get a dictionary?
I'm asking you to name.
Then be quiet and I will, please.
All right, guys, let's talk about the latest episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like I said, I was watching with my eyes kind of closed because it was triggering, but it was still fun. I actually really like this Vegas trip. I agree with a few things that Annie said on the last episode of It's About Bravo, but I also disagreed with her on some things, and I'm going to bring that up right now.
Tell me.
First thing that I want to agree with you is that I do actually really like the lighthearted fights that are about nothing, where it's like so stupid, and it like, because it's like such a return to form. It's such like an old school way of reality television where it's like, why are we even fighting about this? This is so dumb. Like, we used to fight about, like, you know, that you didn't serve your mother a beverage. Like, you served them a beverage when they came into the house. Or some of the old stuff. What are some of the wigs? The wig shift.
Yeah. Bethany, you know, being like, a cook or a chef.
Or not saying Mrs. Deliceps when you introduce them to the driver. Yes. I mean, like, those kinds of things are some of the greatest, like, housewives fights.
Yes.
That being said, Sutton, for me, is carrying the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills right now. And so if she ever left that show, I would simply collapse. I don't think that the cast has the bandwidth to survive without someone as unhinged as Sutton.
I was going to say, she's the kooky we are needing. Because without her, I feel like it's a little too chill.
Yeah.
We still don't have a villain, but at least we have someone that's a little kooky.
Okay. Very, very kooky. And I understand your points of, like, where it's like, I think that she did want to be like a cool girl. I don't think she actually wanted to give the money out and do the dancing and do the stripper thing and whatever. But I think she wanted to be one of the cool girls. She's getting she feels like, have y'all ever seen Jawbreaker?
Like,
no. The movie?
A long time ago. I don't
know. Oh my gosh, this is homophobic.
Your actions were homophobic.
They're not homophobic.
Yeah, they are.
I don't even know what it's about.
Oh my gosh, Jawbreaker is one of, like, my favorite movies. It's with, like, Rose McGowan and Judy Greer.
Yes.
A gay icon.
Always plays
on a side character. Okay. So it's about these three girls, well, four technically.
What's it called again?
Jawbreaker. It's a cult classic. It's camp as fuck. It's about these three girls who, like, for their friend's birthday, they, like, kidnap her. They shove a jawbreaker in her mouth. They throw her in the trunk and pretend like they kidnap her to scare her, just to take her to her favorite restaurant. When they open the trunk, she died choking on the jawbreaker.
Spoiler, Zach.
It's like the main plot of the movie.
Like, oh my god!
But anyway,
I hope you fast forwarded through this. Haven't seen it yet.
Sorry.
Ah, damn it!
Spoiler alert: they kill their friend or whatever, and so they're like hiding or whatever. And the nerdy girl, who is played by Judy Greer, overhears that, like, they killed this girl, and then they, like, to make that girl shut up, they, like, make her all popular or whatever, and they dress her up and she becomes Fern or whatever. And she's like this new, like,
cool girl.
It's kind of like Sugar and Spice.
Very.
Yeah. You know that movie?
Yes.
Maddie, do you know that movie?
No. Let's just continue on one movie.
Camp classics. But so, like,
I'm putting these in my notes.
So it's Sutton is giving that. Like, she's like, she was Fern. She doesn't go past the first date. She's like, you know, not been the cool girl. And I see her, like, wanting to be, like, super a part of this group and super cool girl. But then I also think she is, like, prude and, like, does. I feel like it was a mix of both. I don't think it was, like, one or the other. Mm-hmm. I really felt a certain type of way when Erica, and the listeners can't see me do this, but go and watch the episode when Erica is spread eagle with her legs. She is literally nodding with her head like that. She's like, as if she's getting ahead. She's like,
yeah.
Oh. Erica.
Like, it's like the funniest thing.
It was like Erica was almost like doing too much. It was like she just like said rehearsed that in her home, like privately. Well, she
say she was with one. That guy was one of her oldest dance partners. Yeah, like, yeah. So,
how many times do you think her and Mikey ran that number?
Oh, she practiced before she got to Vegas. No, she knew exactly what she was going to do. Yeah, yeah.
She was ready. Now, Zach, if you had listened to the episode with just me and Maddie, did you?
I started it and look, I got through about 30 minutes of it.
It counts as a stream. So he's like, I'm out.
The reason being was I was listening to it in Vegas at BravoCon and I was getting ready. And I was also like, I was listening to it on Saturday, I think, when I was like dying.
Yeah.
You're like too much Bravo.
And then Reed came in and we had to bring ourselves back to life. He came in with a coffee. He gave me a coffee and a sandwich. And like, then we went and met Mo at like the pool. And then, but I am going to go listen to the rest of it because guess what? I loved those first 30 minutes. I think you guys were like phenomenal. But if I missed something on that, you want to bring that up now?
I did mention specifically that like Sutton makes good TV because of the drama that surrounds her when she says these crazy things. Like, so I'm not really like calling for her to like not be there. She makes good TV. I guess what I really kind of more so meant the last episode when I was talking about it was like she in a friend group like IRL would never fit in with these ladies. And like, I'm not mad at her being there, but I just think that she says shit that like none of us would really ever say, and like that she truly would not be hanging out with these women if it was real life. Like they would have ousted her from this friend group a while back, I think. That's kind of more like my theory. I don't want her off this show, but she's just so awkward that I could see it at some point going towards a kind of Brandy Glanville ending, which was like Brandy Glanville was such good TV and there was so much drama that ensued from what she would do, but it got to a point where nobody liked her and wanted to film with her, and so for that reason she was out, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
But I think like, she'll always have the Garcelle relationship. Her and Garcelle are always going to be thick as thieves.
Sure, but you can see Garcelle at times cracking too. I mean, I don't want her to leave. That's my point. Like, you're right. Like, she's creating so much drama just from her just being herself. She's not trying to create drama. She's not a mastermind. She's not good. Like, she's not doing it intentionally, which is kind of why I love it, actually. Like, but she just is like a weird, awkward person and says stuff that comes to her mind when she probably shouldn't, and because of that we're getting great reactions from the women, so like that's why I want her. I mean, I was just saying that like I don't think that they like her
even honestly. I love Sutton for the sole purpose of like how she says some of these women's names, every time she says Kyle. I want to make a meme and be like, what's Simon from American Idol's last name?
Last name, and then just
put a clip of Sutton going, Cow.
Cow. Cow. Cow.
No, cow. Literally. No.
Like, it's just, like, so funny to me. But I see what you're saying. I do think that they would still run in the same circles because, like...
Because, like, high society events.
But I don't think that they would gravitate towards each other at those events. So I do see what you're saying, but... you know, I'm just gonna live in my Delulu and just like be like, they are all best friends and I need something to say on this show.
Now, a best friend moment that actually did happen, I thought, when Dorit and Kyle went out for lunch together and kind of talked about like their marriage woes. And I like that kind of hit me deep because it's like the first time we're seeing Kyle kind of talk about her problems with Mauricio. Obviously we know like what's happened now, but like Dorit was kind of really like, okay, you're sober now. Your husband's not. Like, do you see that changing? And seeing Kyle break down in that, I'm like, wow. That was probably one of the catalysts, you know?
I think that was like a really like, I love Dory and Kyle's friendship because it's like, mm-hmm. that's like the probably one of the most real friendships on the show and in the also in the Bravo universe. I will also say that it was kind of like, I kind of hated how the women were like talking about Kyle's like sobriety.
Yeah.
That was so weird. Why are they? They're just jealous. They were acting not drinking and her working out, it's like unhealthy. They're like worried for her.
They're like,
Like, and then also like they're like she like as if she can't have fun anymore. As if she didn't just get whipped cream like licked off of her.
Yeah.
At Magic Mike. Like it's not like she's not a good time. It's not like she's like not a key and she's being like a Debbie Downer. If anyone Sutton was fucking drinking the bottle of vodka in her purse and was still being a Debbie Downer.
No, exactly. Yeah. Kyle's like still having mocktails. She's still staying out late. It's not like she's going to bed early. She's just choosing not to drink. And they're all kind of like, they're kind of treating her sobriety as a joke. Like, when are you going to be done with this? That's literally what Garcelle said. Like, are we done with this yet?
Not even a joke. They're acting like it's like an issue. They're like oh, problem. I'm concerned for you. Like, I feel like a lot of it is jealousy. Like a little bit. Like,
yeah,
wow,
she's getting so hot.
So healthy now. Like, yeah. I mean, like, this can't be real. This can't last. Like, no way. She's going to come back to the dark side and start drinking again with all of us and not working out. But that was very funny and bizarre to me. And it felt, I saw right through that. I felt like it was very much them just trying to like make themselves feel better about like not.
That's exactly it. They're like, he works out early on vacation. It's like, well, she didn't drink. She's not hungover. Why not?
Yeah. And Sutton is like, Sutton's calling it a midlife crisis. I was like, this is not mama. the producers cut to you pouring that Kettle One twice in one episode. Okay, like I think somebody else is having a midlife crisis, and I think the producers they're popping your Bumble bag in your Kettle One. To, like, listen, and I love Sun. I don't want her to change at all. Okay, you keep doing that. You keep doing you. She was very offended about that. Vodka in the purse comment.
Oh, yeah, because she's a drunk.
I would probably be like the way that she talked to the bull operator. Don't do this now. Don't do this now. If I was her pouring that drink, I would have looked at the producers and been like, "Don't put the timestamp on the screen."
Yeah,
they did. But they did.
Don't put the timestamp on the screen.
1 p.m. They made it sure to point it out.
I also want to talk about the moment when they're all at the dinner table not playing the cards, but kind of reading those card questions out, and they're like, when they ask the question, like, when is
money like stop providing happiness or something like
that? Or like how much money is too much money? And then you hear Erica kind of talk about, like, I'm wondering if any of these women like kind of felt for Erica in that moment, because I didn't. Just because I'm in the place that Erica was in. I was like, I used to have money, now I don't. And by I used to have money, I mean I used to be able to pay my rent, and now I can't.
Not even.
I feel like I felt for her in a sense of, I'm glad that she's, like, opening up and being, like, real and feeling,
yeah, she's finally mentioning it.
Down and, like, talk about, like, because it's, like, I'm not the type of person to, it's pretty easy to be, like, oh, my problems are bigger than yours, or, like, oh, you have this money, sorry. It's very easy to, like, do that, but, like, I don't know. I try to have compassion for at least, like, some people.
I mean, she doesn't even own a home. That's what she said. She's, like, one of her goals is to, like, own a home one day.
Do you guys own your homes?
No, but I don't have a job.
No, I probably never will.
Exactly, bitch. Like, we never will. Like, please, go shut the fuck up. Like, I feel
Annie
like...
Annie does not give a fuck.
No, let us have it.
No, because, listen, here's the thing. Like, okay, first of all, you can't ask that question to this group of women. Like, of course, they're going to be like, oh no, I'm good. Like, I don't need any more money. I don't want like, oh, okay. Cause you're all rich. Even Erica still rents a $1 million home in Beverly Hills, bitch. Like, she has a fucking pool. Go fuck yourself. I don't care if you don't own it. Like, bitch, I don't own my 600 square foot apartment in Hamilton Heights in New York. Like, I don't own that either, and I never will. Like, go fuck yourself. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I will say
good woman to have this conversation with.
Something that resonated with me hard was when Erica was like, as much money as that's receiving is as much money that's going out. And I was like,
relatable.
My paycheck it comes in and then it just goes right back
out.
It goes right back out. They're like, don't you have a good job now, Zach? Like, you have good benefits and you have like, it goes.
Yeah, and it's not even like we're living luxuriously. Like, I'm not going to Vegas.
Girl, we barely made it to Vegas. For real. Like, barely made it. I want to talk about another part of the episode that I just think is, I think is so funny. And this is also, like, goes back to the last episode and also has to do with this episode. Erica giving up fighting for Lent is one of my favorite housewife things that has ever happened, I think. Yes. Like, I just, like, the fact that she's saying, like, Lent is the reason that she's not fighting is hysterical to me. She's like, because I'm trying to be a good Catholic. And she's like, it is so fucking funny. And then, like, those elevator doors opening up and her just being like, you know what? In this moment, God has said, you gave it up for Lent, but I'm giving you a pass right here. And she was like, God, she was like that girl in that meme from, like, Chick-fil-A. Where it's like, God shined on me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
And she's like, and I just was like able to like go off on set. That whole scene, her delivery, I'm going to play the clip right here.
The Lent thing is still in effect.
I gave up fighting with y'all for Lent as a good Catholic.
But God gave me the pass to confront Sutton. Yes, God shined upon me that day, opened the doors, and there he was. You cannot time that. He said, you know what, Erica, after the last 2 years, she treated you so shitty, honey. Here's your moment. And I said, thanks, God. I'm taking it.
All right. I have something to say. I thought, like, Ariana Grande said God is a woman. I think God is a gay man because he is messy as fuck if he was the one that facilitated those elevator doors opening right there. Erica basically thinks that God is like a messy gay being like, drama bitch, stir it up. Like God is stirring it up in a big way, you know?
Mikey and I is God. Like, God is Mikey. Yeah, that's who it is.
Right.
The second
coming. God was like, you better get some drama. Like, let's confront it. Like, you know?
God was like, listen, Erica, I know you gave Lent up. I know you gave up fighting for Lent, but you're not on season 10 or 11. You're on season 13, which is looking like a season 8. So I'm going to need you to fight. I'm giving you a pass. You don't need to, give it up.
They should probably hire God as like a producer on the show, actually.
Honestly, the fact that like the divine timing of it all, I'm going to agree with it. It was divine. And then she's like, hey, this is the guy that you said basically fuck you to at the Magic Mike show.
Sutton was livid.
I would be too.
She gets so angry and like her Kyle talk. She freaks out a lot. I'm sorry. Yeah. She does. Yes, Erica did like kind of like fabricate what happened, but Sutton could have she never would have, but she could have stood her ground there and said, Erica, I did not say that. Yes, I did enjoy your show. I was uncomfortable, blah, blah, blah. Instead, she's like, Erica, why are you embellishing this? I never said that. And it's just like,
I did say the spread eagle was a little.
She just goes like, she takes everything so to heart. And then her in the Sprinter van.
The Sprinter van thing was just like so much. And then Dorit, I was dying though when Sutton was like, Dorit, this is where I would tell you to zip it. This is why I tell you to zip it. And then why was Garcelle? I love everyone on this cast. I love Garcelle and I love Dorit. And for some reason, everyone in this fan base wants to put Garcelle and Dorit against each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know why Garcelle is going after Dorit so much.
That was
random. It was so
cut back to Dorit literally asked Sutton, shall I go with you?
Yes.
Like, actually, she tried to. So, yeah, Garcelle has a thing for Dorit for sure.
And Dorit's not as close with Sutton to have followed her out.
Yeah. But I think
that's your friend.
But Garcelle is getting sick of being the Suttonator. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like even her tolerance is, like, running thin with Sutton. That's kind of my point from previous episodes.
I see that take.
Yeah, she's like, somebody else should have followed her. I'm sick of it.
She's like, you guys, I follow this bitch out of the club every single time she, like, cries.
Maybe I wanted to get whipped cream put on me. Like, this is so annoying that I have to be the one to follow her out. Like, she's like, this is my role, but I don't want to do it anymore all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's, I think, where that was coming from. But I also do think you're right. It was like, it's like a weird thing with her and Dorit. And also, this is for Dorit. This is the second time that she's been told by one of her castmates that they're not comfortable with her being around her children, kind of thing. And so you can tell that Dorit each time gets really upset about that. And I mean, I get it.
I don't know. I think like it's all just, I don't understand the Dorit and Garcelle feud. Honestly, I want them to team up so bad because I love both of them. But
they could take over the world.
They could take over the world if they really wanted to.
But I believe that they have like an on and off relationship. Like I believe that it will have its ups and downs. Like unlike what we were talking about, like with Atlanta, like I do think that they could have moments, you know, like,
yeah,
we'll see.
Can we get into the best part of this episode?
Instant name Housewives up. Canon. Like, I am obsessed with, I have not, my entire day, my brain has just been, name them. Name them.
See, name, I hadn't watched the episode name you guys were texting about it yet, and I'm like, y'all are so annoying. And then I'm finally, because I was watching Miami when y'all were texting about it. Then I watched Beverly Hills After, and I'm like, this is so funny. I thought I was going to stop. Like,
you probably just saw Camp go on your notifications, and you were like, they need to shut the fuck up. And then, like, you watched it, and it is one of the campest moments ever.
I thought it was going to stop happening, and then she just kept saying, name them. Name them.
Comes in. And like, well, first, there was like a scene before in the episode where the producers cut to Sutton pouring the kettle one with like cranberry juice. Okay. Then
grapefruit juice.
Okay. You caught me. Not bad.
I'm not a libel around here. We don't do slander. We get our facts right.
Allegedly, grapefruit juice. Allegedly.
Grapefruit juice. It's Ocean Spray. Get it right.
Okay, period. Well, her and the Ocean Spray. And then later, Kyle comes over and Kyle's like, I'm just having tea. And then Avi is like, has anyone on this podcast talked about the relationship between Sutton and Avi? Because I find that so fascinating.
Yes.
Like, yeah, a little bit. I am like, that is very fascinating to me.
She would pay a gay man just to hang out with her. So she feels like she has like a little hype man.
I know. Well, what happened to the other one?
Who was the other one?
Well, like, the kind of cute one. We've talked about him on the podcast.
She has a rotating gay in her house and she pays them to hang out with her and hire her up. And also, by the way, Zach, I paid you and you didn't come over last month.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'll send the money back. Listen. I sent Reed, though.
Oh, yeah, so sorry.
Not the same.
He's not gay enough.
But so then she pours another, she's like, no, I'm having another cocktail. Because she's like gearing up. She's like revving up. She's like, bringing Kyle into her house. But she's like, Kyle is not my friend. Kyle is not my friend. And she never will be, probably.
Yeah, she she's finally realized.
So she refuses the tea. They talk about Vegas, and I love Sutton. These are just the things about Sutton that I love. Just the little things like this. It wasn't my favorite departure. Like, what? What Gone with the Wind is she like? She's like really serving like old Hollywood. Like, that's the other part, I was like, Betty Davis, like, you know, could not do this performance as well as Sutton could of Erica, where she's like, and oh. When she does like the whole Erica impression, like I thought Dorit had a great Erica impression. No, Sutton like really gave
acting down, when
acting down.
Specifically, intentionally embarrass me. Cue elevator doors. Oh, Sutton. Now's your chance. You can apologize. What the hell?
And Kyle was just like, where is this coming? Like, Kyle, you could tell, was just like, she's like, are you okay? Like, I don't think you're okay. You were not in KO Vegas and you are not okay right now.
You know what bothers me so much? Wait, Annie, go ahead.
Sorry, that is the most triggering thing, I think, to someone, because we all know what that meant. Are you okay? Was like, I don't think you're mentally okay. And like, Sutton knew that too. Like, she was picking up on undertones. Like, that's like the most like triggering, I think, offensive thing to someone, because it's kind of like basically saying like, you're crazy. Like, I don't think you're doing okay. Are you okay? Like, I think
okay, but we all know that that's Kyle's like That's her forte, is gaslighting and making people
feel crazy.
Like,
you're scaring me right now.
But honestly, I'm going to defend Kyle here, which Kyle's Twitter right. won't do.
Oh, I agree.
No, Kyle is usually always right, because she usually is dealing with someone completely mentally unstable. And like, and that's the thing. It's like, yes, like in a normal conversation, if your friend was saying that to you, but guess what, babe, you're not crazy. Okay. But Sutton has had like 18,000 freakouts. So when she was like, name them, I would be like, oh, yeah, let me roll footage.
And she did name him.
That's what was, I was like, Sutton, you are not doing yourself any favors to keep on repeating name him. Like, it literally, you might as well have just said, roll back the tapes. And
she might as well have just said, here, add one. I'll give you another one to your list right now.
They're going to roll back the tapes. And then they should really have rolled back like 2 minutes ago, like, like 2 days ago, 2 minutes ago, 2 years ago. Like it's so, why was she saying it like that? As if it was like, oh, really? Name a time. Like, first of all,
she doesn't think she's crazy.
She can name a time. And also, we have at our disposal fucking cameras and footage. So we're all going to name it, bitch. And we're going to show also, it on screen.
Also, the name of is a time. Like, the name of is a time. Like, this is
the time. You're doing it again.
Nurse.
She's out again. She's out, like, running the streets right now. Name him.
I also thought it was very rich when she was like, what do you mean I'm being rude? What do you mean rude? And I was kind of thinking to myself, like, Kyle was probably thinking, okay, maybe I didn't mean rude. Maybe I meant annoying. Like, you're being annoying.
Kyle's like, do you want me to get a dictionary?
Yeah.
Come on, Merriam-Webster.
Yeah, Kyle was like,
I love when Kyle gets like,
she was winning
like
this argument.
Because it was giving like, I love watching Kyle deal with unhinged crazy women, like season one Camille.
Yes.
Like when she was like talking, like when they're in Vegas and they were at that dinner and they were talking and she's like, you are, I've never heard a woman talk like this, Camille. You think that because I said, where's Kelsey, that I was thinking that you were not important. And like, you know, she's like, sounds like a crazy person. You need to go to therapy.
Camille.
You're such a fucking liar, Camille. I like what she's like, you need a therapist.
You need to get a therapist immediately.
And I'm like, I love when Kyle, and people are like, oh my gosh, Kyle is the worst. She's agitating her. I was like, name one fucking person that would sit in Kyle's shoes and have someone go, name him, and not respond the way that Kyle did.
And like, I don't know how the audience is like, Kyle obviously is completely sober in this. She's drinking tea. We've now seen Sutton pour two drinks. It's like Kyle's winning the argument just because she's more of sound mind.
Mind you, it was a heavy pour. That was a gay man's pour.
It was two shots of vodka.
Literally. It was very much a gay bar pour. It was not. And Avi didn't even have to pour that for her. She knows what she's doing. So anyways, I'm going to say that like I feel that Rinna's presence is missed for me, but that just might be because I'm just a messy bitch. But I do also think that the women are doing, they're doing okay.
Yeah.
Like, they're not doing the worst. That it's not as floppy on as it could be, you know?
Yeah, it's still a good season.
It feels a little bit more authentic even without Rinna there. I just feel like I love Rinna so much when she was good, but I just think that it got a little bit inauthentic and kind of like,
awesome. Yeah, I know what you're saying,
Annie, you know? I'm gonna ask you this, if this quote is in your Drag Race vernacular yet, and I'm gonna use this quote for Rinna, and maybe you'll pick up on this, maybe you won't, but when she's bad, she's bad, but when she's bad, she's like a venereal disease.
I don't think I've gotten there yet.
Okay. Maddie was grinning.
Your impression was so good.
I think I botched it though, but I think it's Alaska in Snatch Game for All Stars 2.
Oh, wait, I have seen that season.
Yeah, when she's Mae West, and she's like, when I'm good, I'm good, but when I'm bad, I'm like a venereal disease.
Yeah, she's like doing the little, the shoulders.
All right.
Just had to scratch your Drag Race knowledge there a little bit. This was a little test. But anyways, I think Beverly Hills is doing fine. We'll see. I think it's very interesting that they're totally pulling, which I I kind of predicted, and maybe a group chat, maybe it was the podcast, I can't remember. But a Catherine Edwards is what this Anne Marie Wiley is giving. It's gonna be like,
yeah,
she's gonna
like,
be
when
like
is thrown, she coming?
Like it's, we're on episode 5.
Yeah,
next week.
I forgot about her.
Yeah, yeah, I forget about her until I'm on Peacock and she's like the main photo.
She's the main one, and you would have forgotten about her, but you would have thought she was this main huge person at BravoCon because she wouldn't shut Let's switch to our next segment. Let's talk about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Does placate to your emotions and not want to upset you.
No.
Because she loves you and adores you.
No, that's not the case.
Has she ever stood up to you? I think that you're triggered as over Angie and Monica.
I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel so nobody has to guess. I have no problem with Monica other than she upset my friend. That is it. End of story. So I am not triggered by their friendship. I'm triggered by the fact that I'm like, what the f*** are you doing, Ange?
It can be very difficult to talk to Lisa because Lisa can only see things from her perspective. And if you don't agree with that perspective, she takes it as you are against her. So I understand why Angie is very hesitant to tell Lisa how she feels, because Lisa is going to take it as a personal attack.
All right, guys, let's talk about this latest episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. This is currently my favorite franchise that's airing at the moment. Shocker. Are we surprised?
No. No. Don't act shocked.
Oh, my God.
Don't act shocked.
Don't act shocked. Don't act shocked. That, yeah, I'm looking at Potomac. I'm like, you don't have the income coming in anymore.
Your bills are being affected.
Reed is howling right now. He's slamming his hand up.
Now I know what that is because of Reed's Halloween costume.
Yeah.
But okay, let's talk about Salt Lake. I want to talk firstly about how much I love this season so far and how the last episode, every time I come on the microphone now, the episode that y'all talked about the week before is the
was the better
really
one.
It's the one that I really wanted to talk about. So I just want to say, Monica is delivering for me. I think that she is one of the best newbies since Kenya and Portia, season 5 of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I think she is just carrying. I will get into my feelings on her scene with her mother in this episode because I have some thoughts about that. But same. Otherwise,
but
I think that...
Wait.
Which, what?
Well, go, yeah.
Oh, what are you talking about? I'm just going to wrap up my Monica rant is that scene with her and Lisa at the sound bath is legendary for me. It is. And it's like, for me, that is like quintessential, perfect housewives. They're at a sound bath. They're arguing in a whisper tone. I didn't say that, Monica. Okay, Lisa. Like it was so good. And then you have Whitney being like, Lisa Barlow, shush. So like, I was like, I could not. I was just like, and then when Lisa turns around, it was like, do not talk to me. Please stop talking to me. It was
I'm
just like,
trying to
so
enjoy
good.
The sound bowl.
I'm trying to enjoy the sound bath. It's like, it like that whole thing. And then she read her down when she was like, listen, I have like, there's all these different smarts in the brain chemistry. I don't know how she said this, because I'm not smart enough to say it like she did. But she was like, and street smarts is the number one, and you don't have that, and you're jealous of me for it. And I was just like, this is so fucking good. I like lived for every second of it.
It was
and I think
so
it's
good.
Just like a legendary housewife feud right now, and I'm gagging.
I was gonna say, we kind of start off the episode with Whitney and Lisa getting together, and Whitney kind of called Lisa out for yelling at her event, and Lisa's like, well, what did I say? She's like, did you hear me? What did I say? And she's like, yeah, you kept on yelling, please stop. Please stop. And she's like, I didn't say that. I said, please stop talking to me. Like, Lisa, like, okay, Lisa.
Can we talk about how Whitney opened up this conversation being like, what the fuck happened at the sound bath? And then literally 5 minutes later, after Lisa starts dropping F-bombs, she's like, we don't talk like that in my house, by the way. We don't.
It's like, Whitney, you have a stripper pole. The kids have never heard the F word.
Be fucking for real, Whitney Wild Rose, for 2 seconds.
Yeah, like you and your husband had sex on camera. We all saw it. You don't say the F word?
Maddie, the kids weren't home during that, okay?
I will say she pivoted as soon as her kid peeked the corner. Yeah. Like, as soon as she saw her kid, it was like the kid seeing Santa Claus. It was like the do not look behind the curtain. Do not look at the man behind the curtain. It was giving like Wizard of Oz. Like,
yeah, it reminded me of that season with Denise Richards in Beverly Hills where she didn't want to talk about something. So she immediately was like, my kids are here and we don't talk about threesomes. And they were like, bitch, we know what threesomes are. Please. We're in high school.
And they're also like, you're Denise fucking Richards. You were married to Charlie fucking Sheen. Your kids are the spawn of Charlie Sheen. Like, are you, you're going to be...
Two, her kids are now on OnlyFans. And she was like, we don't talk about threesomes in this household, bitch. Like,
she's like, fucking far. Too right,
poor Jan. Okay, but let's really talk about what we want to talk about, which is Mary calling Heather inbred
and doubling down on it.
I mean, there were harsh words exchanged. That was the part.
And what did you find harsh? Because
I thought
you were harsh towards me.
Well, I mean, you said I don't even know I look inbred.
Heather Merrill, judgmental self. She has the snobbiness of a true Mormon. She don't even know she's looking inbred.
Do you think I look inbred?
I do.
And then apologizing right after.
You can apologize for that. I can't believe that Heather just accepted it and was like, thank you for saying
she's
sorry.
She's like, do you think I look inbred? She said yes. And she said, that made me feel bad. She's like, I'm sorry I made you feel bad.
Because I hate this for Heather.
She goes, did that bother you that I said that? Yeah. Mary, it bothered me. Yeah, Luann, I'm drinking. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, bitch? Of course it bothered me. And you just said it just now. You can't just be like, okay, well, I'm sorry. No.
I read the part up. First of all, she starts off by going like, it was the whole interaction. This is honestly why I love Mary Cosby, though, because it's like whiplash watching her sometimes, you know? Yeah. You're like, I thought she hated Heather's guts. I thought she hated Heather down so much. She opens the door. Heather's here. Heather, welcome to the home. Gives her the tour. It's acid. It's an acid trip. It is literally insane. Okay, sits down.
In the Mad Hatter seats.
Yeah.
With 25 servings of crackers.
Literally. And the Chanel throw pillows from Wish in the background. And then goes, oh, yeah, I didn't read your book. I just read the parts with me in it. You know? And so, like, one is like, I didn't read your book.
It's very mean.
Then goes, what you said about it, me, wasn't true, which it was just literally just recanting, like, what she said. Yeah. Then she was like, you called me inbred. Plays the clip where she calls her inbred. She says she's such a judgy person. She doesn't even know she looks inbred and her Mormon self. Then Heather goes, do you really think I look inbred? And she said, I do. And she said it so fast.
Yes. I do. And Heather was like, that means, like, you think I look like, yeah. And she was like, scene, oh, did that make you feel bad?
It's that scene from Orange County that I love with Shannon and Kelly. You can't just call people ugly. She is ugly. She is.
You told my friend she was ugly.
She is ugly. She is.
You don't call people ugly.
You can't call people ugly. It was just whiplash. And then immediately goes, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I made you feel bad about that.
Heather just took it.
Was like, thank you for saying that.
Do you think Heather
like, stand
just...
up, Heather Gay. Stand up.
I feel like Heather was just like, get me the fuck out of this like weird house with these. I'm sitting in a chair that's five times my size. I'm just going to agree with her so I can leave.
Yeah, I feel like they're like weirdly scared of Mary. It's so weird. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there in Salt Lake. But
I feel like a lot of people are, I'm scared of Mary. And then when she was like, I'm not bougie. And I'm like, can we? Cut the cameras, dead ass. I was like, literally, like, I was like, look behind you, Mary. Look behind you.
Your kitchen is painted Tiffany blue.
Like, please, you got that fucking canvas from like, you know, Instagram that has Audrey Hepburn from Breakfast at Tiffany's with gum in her mouth. Okay, mm-hmm. That is like every college like sorority girl's like bougie they have that.
I had it.
Annie's like, I'm copping to it.
I had Audrey Hepburn and Marilyn Monroe, bitch.
Yay! There you go.
Oh, this, my gosh.
It was just a chaotic scene. I don't know.
I was going to say another chaotic scene with weird designer. Monica's mom showing up in her head-to-toe fake Burberry outfit.
Oh,
this
God.
This is what I that wanted
was
to get into.
I'm sorry. The outfit was so funny. I'm like, she's not dead ass.
No, she was
with the pigtails and everything too.
Actually, I fear that she is very dead ass.
It's dark sided.
Okay, hold up. hold on one fucking minute now. I have to say something. Monica was saying, we haven't spoken since that dinner, blah, blah, blah. No word from her. And then she just rolls up. Okay, well, then why was she mic'd?
That's what I want to talk about.
Why did she show up while you guys were filming? Is she on the fucking call sheet, bitch? I'm starting to smell some fishiness going on around here. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on.
But I wouldn't put it past, what do they call her? Ovo? Uvu? What do they call the grandma?
I don't know.
They call her some name. They're like, whenever, like when she rolled up, they're like, Robo's here. Oh no.
Whatever. Oh no, keep her away from my kids. Blah, blah. I'm like, whatever. She knew that you guys were filming and she's mic'd. So bitch, you told her to come. Like, go fuck yourself.
But I wouldn't put it past Rovo.
To contact the producers.
And I wouldn't put it past the producers. I'm going over. Like, a producer would be like, yeah, sure. Yeah. They're filming right now. But so I wouldn't put it past that.
I also wouldn't put it past Monica to.
I wouldn't either.
Facilitate this whole thing too. I'm just there's something fishy going on, and like actually the producers, I do think, I could be naive, I'm sure that I am, but I do think that I'm naive, okay, but I still think that like their loyalty does lie to the main cast member, and I would imagine that if they really did mic her up, tell her they were filming, tell her to roll up the exact time, that if Monica really was that upset about her coming, that she would have some shit to fucking say. Like, if they're really fighting like this, like, I have talked about this before. I have a, like, relationship with my father that's, like, not good, toxic. Like, if they were to have him roll up during that, like, I would have been storming off the set, taking my mic off, like...
Yeah.
Like, it would not have gone down the way that it went down. And so that's why I kind of believe that, like, they wouldn't really do it, like, that shadily. They probably would have, like, run it by her. I just feel like Monica was in on that whole situation, period.
Annie, yeah. I want probably. You to send that in. Andy's got his tweet up on Twitter right now. If you could just tweet that question in for the reunion. I would love for Andy Cohen to read. Annie from New York, Monica, this is for you. Were you in on this? Like what? Like I want, yeah. Cause I would want to know, because I think that she would probably be like, what the fuck is she doing here? I'm not doing this.
Well, she also, but to play devil's advocate here, she wants her car back.
T.
Like she needs her car back.
She got it back. Like she brought the car back.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. The weirdest thing was the mom just standing in the driveway after. Like, Uber, how far do you live away?
That's what I was just about to say.
The production assistant drove her home.
Are you a couple blocks away? You don't have your phone. You can't call an Uber. Like, why are you walking home? She's like, well, this is fucking ridiculous.
And her Burberry had to toe fit.
Because Monica thought it was like an iconic line, and then it cuts to her in her Burberry pajamas. I just think that I'm starting to feel that some things may not be what they appear.
Well, there's a reason why none of the cast is talking to Monica. And obviously we know there's like a big explosion at the end that we saw in the very first like minute of the premiere episode that people are alleging like that's towards what's going on with Monica. But I think it's more to that, like with Monica, because there's a reason, like, everyone else at BravoCon was taking group pictures and they don't get along that well. And Monica's nowhere to be seen. Like, these girls hate her for some reason.
They hate her. They wouldn't even talk about her on the red carpet or anything at BravoCon.
Yeah. Like, I think it's something, there must be something.
And I want to say that.
She stole the ring. She called that from day one. I said that I told you that Monica took it.
You did.
I don't know. I don't know if she stole the ring.
I think she did.
I want to say though, that very Dorinda Medley, I'm scared every day. I'm scared every day that Monica's going to get Noella'd. I'm terrified of that. Because I just like...
She's the reason we have a season.
No, literally. Like, I just am like, all these people who are on Twitter going, oh my gosh, this is the best season that Salt Lake has had in years. And in the same breath saying fire Monica. We would have never had the sound bath scene.
I'm going to call out a certain Twitter account. I'm not going to say their names. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Their icon is pink.
Is it Reed?
No. Their icon is pink. Their Bravo account. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'll say it. They tweeted, it was a picture of the Monica and her mom fighting scene. And they're like, is anyone else sick of this? We have to skip through the Monica scenes. It's too much to watch. And I'm like, so then what are you watching? Meredith and Seth film their podcast? Like, Monica and her mom scene was the best scene.
mind you, this account stands Robin Dixon, and those like, scenes right now are very hard to get through.
Annie, I'll fill you in on a commercial break.
Yes, you know what? We'll talk about it on
we'll talk side about chat. Offline. Yeah,
we'll talk about on side chat, bitch.
On
yes,
side chat, actually. The names are coming out.
Oh my god! No. Yeah, because what are you talking about? Then what did you watch? Because you obviously watched it, or you won't be tweeting about it, bitch. By the way,
yeah,
I think that the cast—it's like one of those. I'm gonna get so frustrated. I hate when we have really good shows and really good casts and everyone is caring and everyone's doing their job. You might not like how someone does their job, but like, guess what? Like, I don't really give a fuck about like factories and welding and stuff, but I know we need a welder. I know that we need garbage men out there. We need people to do the dirty work. Monica is doing the dirty work. That like, we need those people. I don't know how to bring it to you. Like,
now
Beverly Hills season 11 and 12 were great. The cast, like, people thought they were super dark-sided, but like, we are all talking about it. We're all watching it. I thought, and people are going like, this is the most like appointment television that's on right now. Yet fire A, B, C, D. Why? You said it's good. So I don't understand why we're even going to touch it. I don't want them to touch Orange County. I don't want them to touch Salt Lake. Like, just don't fuck with it. And like, Noella brought so much to me on Orange County and they fired her.
Yeah. I think she's
terrified.
That being said, though, I will go back to the whole Brandi Glanville thing where it's like, if Monica does piss off these women so much that they don't even want to talk to her, film with her, whatever, we can't go off of mom scenes together. I mean, I I'm fine with them for right
but
now.
Maybe but Angie will end up being her friend because Angie doesn't really have anyone else.
If someone that could be like when Sheena was like the only friend with Kristen or something like that. I don't know if that's right, but you know what I'm saying? Like when someone was ousted from the group and there was only like one point of contact, but like got them kind of back into the group or invited to things. She has somebody that's an actual friend, but again, like an actual friend, like it would have to be genuine. I think that I do believe that she deserves a second season. I think that everyone deserves a second season. And I know that Maddie, we talked about this on our episode and I want to go back to this a little bit. I think that I do believe that everyone deserves a second season. I think when I was talking about Uba on Roni, I think the reason why I felt okay with like putting her out was because this is the first time that they've like rebooted the cast. And so because there wasn't like a solid group of people like before Uba came on, this was like a new group. That's why I felt okay with like maybe her going away. But like with this group, I feel like we have enough of like other relationships going on that I don't mind if we keep one girl that's not as close. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It makes more sense. Like when you have a solidified group of people to like, let that person have another season to mesh with the group.
Yeah. She needs it.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when we started like from scratch with Roni and it was like, okay, here's the group, mesh with it or leave kind of thing. I felt okay with saying, okay, maybe someone leaves. But with this, every other situation, I do believe.
Let them
go on, you know?
I hear you.
I'm loving it. I'm loving Monica. I'm honestly loving Angie K too. And I met her at BravoCon. Sweet as pie, short as hell.
Angie K was gagged.
Yes. Oh my gosh, she comes up to my shoulder.
Like, dang.
She was so short. Oh. She was wearing these little tennis shoes. Her husband's short too. Like,
they don't give that on TV.
No, they don't at all. Like, I thought she was tall. Like, I thought she was tall as fuck. This is gonna be this tall ass Greek woman. I get up there. She's like, hi, honey. I was wearing my Lisa Barlow shirt. She's like, oh, you got my friend Baby Gorgeous on your shirt. I love it. Blah, blah, blah,
but
blah.
She was wearing
sneakers. And I was, but like, I was
just, probably wears like 4-inch heels on TV
she's
also.
Got
but
to. Yeah. She's got to.
I could tell she was shorter, but I kind of feel like Monica is tall.
Monica gives a little tall to me.
She gives big girl.
Yeah.
I didn't mean them like that.
Monica's giving that mistress quote where she's like, shout out to all the big girls, got it for you. Hold it down.
The choir coming out for, I just have to mention the choir coming out for Heather Gay's book signing. I'm like, that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted.
That's all I wanted. That's all. That's all I wanted. That's it.
Because last season, I'm like, what the fuck happened with the choir? Like, we literally had no ending storyline with the choir, and I was so lost. And
the producers are shady.
Maddie, shut up. Or, wait, Maddie, are you being serious?
I'm being serious. Last season, I fucking hated it because there were so many storylines that weren't finished. If you Maddie's go back and
like,
watch last
plot
season,
I'm so impressed with Maddie's sarcasm right now. Like, that was hilarious. Like, man. No.
Okay, can we talk about really quick?
Like, that's all I wanted.
And being like, what happened with the choir auditions? I had made some notes on who made the choir.
No, I was pissed.
Can we talk about the producers outing that poor little gay boy, that poor gay Mormon that went up to Heather and was like, on camera, it's like, I want to leave the Mormon church so bad, but I'm staying for my parents. I was like, hey, I'm going to see this. The whole church is going to see this. Like,
it was kind of like, please save me. And she was like, oh, let me give you a hug and sign your book. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. She's like, oh, that's sweet.
I did really like the Heather Lisa scene. I really liked that.
I like them as allies.
Great. And I think Heather said some good shit in her confessional too, of being like, I've been hard on Lisa. I kind of get her now. I need to let it go about the whole church thing. And I'm like, yes, I was saying this last episode, like, get over the whole church thing. It's like your ex-boyfriend, you know, like, let go. But also, I did not care for Monica, like, talking
shading
during.
She was giving Lala.
She was like, is this serious? Is this for real? It's like, I don't know, Monica. We all know that you fucking watched the fucking whole season.
You know a way in a manger, bitch.
So you know a way in a manger. Don't be, like, dumb. Like, yeah.
But she was giving Lala at, like, who is it? Like,
oh, yeah. It was
Sheena's concert?
Sheena's, like, wedding or.
Engagement party. And someone was, oh, Chris,
wrap
was
it up.
Oh, I was like, wrap it up. Yeah, it was mean. It was weird. And it was like, we all know that it's a joke, her singing away in a manger. Like, get over it, bitch.
It's camp.
Yes, it was camp. And Monica should shut it up and leave it alone and let it be camp.
I like what Lisa's like. And the realist, gay. Like, I'm going to use that like all the fucking time.
That, just really that mad about thing. That they said that you weren't the realist gay?
Who, me?
Yeah, aren't you the realist gay?
I am the realist gay.
I know.
The realist.
That's going to be
my tagline.
I'm going to go join SLC and be like, actually, I'm the realist gay.
Actually, I'm the realist gay. Twirl.
Yes, twirl.
All right, guys. That is our Salt Lake segment. Let us segue into somewhere a little bit warmer. Let's talk about the Real Housewives of Miami.
How do you know? How do you know, Gertie?
Are you seriously asking me how I know I have breast cancer?
Like,
it's called a mammogram. It's called a mammogram, Larsa. Okay.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Don't put this whole situation on me now. I'm sorry. I didn't know. You never told me.
I need you to come. Please. Oh my God.
I know I'm trying to tell you, but listen to me, please. I don't know what you're fighting over. I'm not fighting you. Larsa, stop, please.
I just want you to listen to me. I need you to give me a safe space to be myself. To not say, well, oh, 2 minutes. Like, just don't judge. Don't say anything to me. I haven't told anybody except for now you, my family, of course. And now you're the fourth person in the group to know. And I hope that you take it in as like, wow, that's a big thing to share. And that she entrusted me with it because I haven't told anybody else.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Real Housewives of Miami. So we pick up where we left off, which is where Gertie and Larsa were having like a little lunch. And Gertie doesn't feel like she has a safe space to talk to Larsa about what's going on in her life. And she starts crying. And Larsa is like not helping the situation whatsoever. Like, before even like finding out this news, she's like, let's not cry. And it's like, meanwhile, you're talking to someone who just got diagnosed with breast cancer. But
yeah,
like, I understand.
Like, we're not going to cry. We're not going to cry. And she's like, you're not going to tell me what I want to do.
You're not going to tell me what I want to do, Gertie. And yeah. Then Gertie, which Gertie drops, it has been dropping this bomb the most like Gertie way possible. Like, it's almost like, I don't know. I'm not going to say
Velvet died. Ah!
Yeah, it's yes. Yeah. Like, I mean, like last week when Adriana was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We'll be there for you. We'll fight for you. Like in the restaurant, like screaming, you know, it was very much given that, you know, and then like Nicole, like it's so funny watching like how some of the girls are like responding to this whole situation. Like you have Adriana who is like, oh my gosh, screaming. Then you have like some of the other girls just sitting there like shook as hell.
Yeah.
And just tears streaming down.
Well, when Larsa told everyone else, which she wasn't supposed to, but when Larsa told everyone else, I thought it was really interesting, not surprising, but that she really framed it around like, I had a really rough day.
Gertie told me she has cancer.
Yeah. And, then, like, and she literally, like, with no, like, pause was like, and she told me that she had cancer. And my reaction was this. And I was having a really hard time, like, figuring out how to react. Like, and it was like, people were like, wait, what? Go back to Gertie having cancer. Like, everyone else's reaction was very appropriate. Like,
yeah, it was just,
oh my God, what? And Larsa thought she was telling a story about herself. Like, she really was the first person in that story. And it is very telling. Like,
well, even in the situation, she's like, well, how was I supposed to know? She, like, got mad at Gertie. How was I supposed to know?
Yeah. My favorite is she goes, how do you know? How do you know, Gertie? How do you know? How do you know? And she's like, a mammogram, Larsa. A mammogram.
she goes, how do you know? Did you like go to the doctor and they told you that? I'm like, yeah, that's how people find out they have cancer, bitch. What do you think? She Googled WebMD? Like,
yeah.
No, she went to the local medium down the street. She told her that she had cancer. Like, the girl. Oh, a mammogram, Larsa. A mammogram. Why? Like, that was sent.
And then they leave, Gertie's like, just don't tell anybody else. Like, please, like, keep this with yourself until I tell everyone else.
The producers with the 6 hours later.
Yeah. And they were like, no, seriously, like 4 hours later. Or whatever.
She tells her friends and then she tells like the other women in the group and like.
You flashbacked so many times. Like the producers did. They were like, no, like remember a couple minutes ago when you saw her telling her not to say it? Like they did the flashback so many times in this episode. Like they just were really like reining it in, like can't believe she's doing this. Like really
wild.
She's like, don't tell her that I told you guys.
Yeah.
She was like, let her tell her yourself. And they're like,
I think she might find out that they were told. I think she might find out eventually.
No.
Well, Larsa even joked with Gertie. What if I went to TMZ right now? Did you catch that?
Okay, so
practically, she goddamn did. I'm sure she did.
I know. When she said that, and then they were like 6 hours later, 4 hours later, whatever, I thought they were going to cut to like a TMZ article. I really did. And I was like, oh my God, I would not be surprised.
No. Yeah.
Real Housewives of Miami's Gertie has cancer.
Sources say.
So I know I'm going to pivot this. I'm going to toss the basketball over to Maddie. I'm going to use some sports references here.
Oh my God, I'm afraid.
Okay, did you Google sports references before you got on?
I did. Do you see? I have my phone in my hand.
Yes, I did.
No. I was like, what's a basketball reference
I could use?
No, but Maddie wants to talk about, I feel like Maddie is watching these shows. And she's like, all right, how does this relate to the tagline? How does this relate to the tagline?
Okay, Annie.
Yeah.
Get with me here. When we went over the tagline for Real Housewives Real Housewives of Miami, we were like, why is Julia singing?
Yes.
And you're like, it's got to be because, you know, Adriana doesn't have a tagline. So that's how Julia does
that. That was a funny theory, by the way. That was a funny theory, and I wish it was true, but now we know it's not.
But now we know Julia is learning how to sing opera. And I'm like, yes, okay, it makes sense. I love it when a tagline makes sense. So I'm like, okay, check Julia. Yes. But her singing is just. It's funny that she was like, I'm doing this for Martina. Martina is sick. And like, we bonded over opera when she was like getting her cancer treatments in New York. But now she's so worried about opera. She's not even caring about the actual cancer treatments. I'm like, something's not adding up, girl.
It's not adding up.
you being like the center of attention again. So I don't know about that. But I also have to say, Martina, I did not expect this from her, for her to get like that messy on camera and talk about
her. She scares me.
I didn't think she would go there. She just seems like such a, like a non-petty person. And she just seems like the type of person that would have that conversation off camera, you know? And like,
no, Martina like seems like a nightmare to me. I'm going to be quite frank.
Remember, hello, she's transphobic. Well, did we forget about that?
No, I haven't forgotten. I was sitting there watching the episode and I was like, this is...
She seems like a nightmare, but I think she seems like a nightmare in more ways than one, where she seems like the kind of nightmare that would deprive us of watching that scene fold out. And like, she would just talk to her about it in private, which would piss me off as well. But I think it was great that she did it on camera. Thank you.
Yeah, bringing it up on camera was another blow.
Surprising to me that she went there, though. Like,
I do like, though, that they had a conversation with Gertie too, so Gertie could kind of talk to Martina. It is kind of crazy that they had basically two people on this cast that have cancer in the breadth of a few months of each other. So it is kind of nice that they can lean on each other, and then she can kind of get her questions answered. Because I'm like, oh, I can't even imagine going through that. These Miami women have kind of really gone through it the past 3 years. Yeah. You had like all of the Alexia drama, all of the Lisa drama, and now like Gertie going through cancer. It's like, damn, these women, like, they are just hitting the ground.
I have to say that Marisol's reaction to Gertie having cancer was A, appropriate. That's what the reaction should be. Like, take notes, Larsa. And B, I felt it was really heartwarming and really genuine. Like, Marisol can seem kind of cold at times, and I believed her so much. I felt like she was genuinely upset by it. And even cutting to her confessional and just talking about how much it made her sad to think about her kids and everything, like, I just feel like Marisol like really showed
it was real
in that moment, and I appreciated it.
I did too. Next week we have the basketball game, and it looks like shit's popping off in the sprinter van.
Yes, it looks like it's gonna get drama.
I'm excited. I think the Miami girls, they're always bringing it. This was a little bit of a filler episode. The one last thing that I do want to touch on, which I know Maddie and Annie also wanted to touch on as well, is Lisa. I'm going to need you to stop talking about Lenny to that nice man.
Yeah.
Because, like, she was like, I don't have a therapist. Jody's practically my therapist. God love him. I'm like, no. Mm-mm, we're not doing that. Go book a therapy appointment, please.
And she's just like, I almost feel bad. She's like that one friend that won't stop talking about her ex-boyfriend. And at first I'm like, okay, it's different. It's a divorce. It's messy. But I'm like, girl, shut up.
You're not ready.
Your friends are sick of hearing about it. Your boyfriend's probably so, like, praise be to Jody for like sitting through this. Yeah. My God.
I know.
You're obviously not ready for this boyfriend if you're still going through this, like, just period. Like, it's just like, it's just not the time. And it's kind of like,
I don't think she should have.
Even like, this is like different, but like when Heather was kind of warning Gina on OC of like, don't talk about your, like, you're making it seem like maybe you care too much, you're talking to he's not your therapist, like, that's really good advice for Gina. And Gina is much more over it than Lisa is. Like, I feel like it was very much that coded for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you talk to him about it all the time. And like, you're obviously just not in a mental headspace to like welcome someone else new into your life. And one thing more about Lisa, I have to say, this is going to sound judgy, but I'm just like making a speculation. It's not like, I don't know the facts, but
he's starting
her with her kids that feels like a little like awkward at times. Like, it kind of feels like you can tell that the cameras just cut the nanny out, you know? And I feel like when she's with her kids in the scenes, like, they just feel very like weirdly like rehearsed and like kind of, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like,
I get what you're saying.
I
get what you're throwing down.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was a little bit hard of a scene to watch. Like,
when, why is the kid opening the door for the pizza? How old is he?
Well,
we know that there's one
thing I will say to debunk that part of it. It's not that they're like unattended. I know for a fact that like they do this on like Kardashians too all the time. They literally like purposely like crop out the nanny.
Yeah.
The kids are not alone. The kids, that's the reason why they have these
scenes. Annie loves to like tell us all the producer's tricks. Like, let me believe that the kid opened the door for the pizza.
It's like the nanny is there at all times. And that's why
Maddie's like, call CBS, call CBS.
Like, and it's, that's actually why I kind of felt like her sitting down to have dinner with her kids was almost like inauthentic in a way. Like, she's like, she doesn't normally do this. Like, yeah. You know? She's like, so how y'all doing?
And you could see that she could only like handle like 2 minutes of that. And then she's like, stop eating the pizza that I ordered that for pizza night. Stop eating the pizza that I ordered for pizza night. It's not healthy for you. She goes,
you're not listening to me. It's like, yeah, that's a child for you, bitch. Ever heard of it? Like,
girl, his glasses aren't even on his head. Like, it's Velcro. Like,
let him have another piece of pizza.
I don't feel like you're hearing me right now. I don't feel like you're hearing me right now. And it's like, yeah, because it's a child. And like, you don't talk a lot, I feel like.
So it was just a lot. But I don't know. I do love my Miami girls. Season's
next
good.
Next week is going to pop
ramping
off.
Up. It's going to pop off. So let's get into, I'm telling you, this is a marathon. Okay. So kudos to everyone for still, if you're still at this point, we got one more for you. We're going to get into the Real Houses of Potomac.
Even though I love her, I knew that that was something that you would want to know.
Yeah.
I will say that in that vein, so... Only because I talked about it with NECA. We just, like, I was talking about you, how esteemed you are, how professional you are, and this and that. I told her that you were a doctor, and she was like a medical doctor? Wendy, Dr. Wendy. Wendy and I are
friends. Wait, so Dr. Wendy, is this medical doctor?
No, okay. It's a PhD.
Okay, so doctor of philosophy.
Doctor of philosophy?
Yeah, PhD is doctor of philosophy. Okay.
Oh, doctor of philosophy. Okay. The way I thought it was a little... I was okay. I didn't know that was...
No,
like,
I'm a doctor of philosophy.
I respect
it. What only less than 1% of the world has.
I respect it immensely. Yes, I don't have it, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Girl, let me tell you something. I worked hard for my PhD. If it doesn't make her happy, that's on her. But she's going to still address me as Dr. Wendy.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Real Housewives of Potomac. I'm going to make a quick little joke here if you listen to our segments on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. How do we save this franchise? I'm just kidding.
No, we can't go back. We can't go back.
It's not
Atlanta bad yet.
No, it's not. No, it's nowhere near. It's nowhere near Atlanta bad. And honestly, I could watch Karen Huger for hours. I love Karen Huger. I love a lot of the women on this cast. And surprisingly, I'm surprisingly liking Giselle this season.
Okay.
Because I feel like Giselle is like, finally, it's like last episode during the premiere with like the whole intervention with Robin. And she's like, and Robin's like, it's not Juan's fault. And she's like, it actually is. It actually is Juan's fault. And we're not telling you to be like, divorce him and be like, fuck Juan. But if I was Robin, I'd be like, you're making me look fucking stupid right now. Can you chill out? Can you, like, if you're going to do something stupid, can you do it privately? Like, can you stop going to the laundromat and the nail salon and signing a hotel document? Like, can you not? And she's like, I actually believe Juan's story because it's so, I don't think he'd come up with a story that stupid. And I'm like, I think he would.
I think he knows that he doesn't have to come up with anything like that real anymore because you'll just kind of believe anything. So he is coming up with anything that stupid. So
I don't think he has to come up with an intricate plot.
Yeah.
No, she'll believe anything. I will say, Annie, you go.
All right. I will go ahead, actually.
Let's get this started.
I did make some notes about this episode. I make notes on every episode. My notes under Potomac, I have one note. It was blazer brunch. That's the only note that I made. So that was weird that they were all wearing blazers. But I will say something weird. One person that's probably bothering me the least is Wendy.
Not weird for me. I like Wendy.
It's usually not weird for me either, but I will say I'm going to be like, Wendy, we need to not talk about a business venture
Sure, but that part I didn't care about. But I don't love Karen. I'm getting real sick of fucking Ashley making fake fucking storylines. Like, stir the pot, but like in a believable way. She's doing the same shit again, where she runs to someone and tells a fucking bold-faced lie, and then we just saw on the next episode, we're going to have a whole season based around this lie that Ashley told, which maybe her Sesame Street character friend told her, but like, it doesn't matter. You're spreading lies. And it's like, it's so
even. I have a feeling that like we don't come to answers for this lie until like the reunion, because even NECA tweeted on Sunday. She's like, really, Ashley? So I have a feeling that like NECA was probably like on Ashley's side the entire time and like wondering why Wendy was coming after her. And it's like, oh, because Ashley gave her the wrong info about the conversation. Because NECA and Wendy could be so powerful together.
Yeah.
Like they're both so similar. They both own big businesses.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happened last season, where it was like this whole season was based around one lie that Ashley and her friends told, and then we didn't find out until the reunion and the tapes rolled back that it was a lie. I just don't like that. It's just so annoying and lame.
Yeah,
guys, I'm gonna say the most controversial thing I think I've ever said on this podcast.
Oh god, what is it?
I'll tell you what Potomac has been missing, and it's, as much as I would love it to be Monique, it's not Monique. It's Michael Darby.
Oh my god.
We're missing the messiest fucking housewife of all time. I'm sorry, like, as soon as he departed, it hasn't been the same.
No, like, the correlation from, like, the best seasons of Potomac and Michael Darby, like, and now that Michael Darby's gone, like, the season...
Like, they don't know what to talk... They have no idea what to talk about. Well, like, these women are like, what the hell do we talk about now?
But his legacy lives on, because we're still talking about him. His suing Candace. He's there in spirit.
It's just the absence. I'm feeling the absence.
I will say why the season is a little bit more watchable to me than maybe Atlanta is the editors are putting in work for what they can do. They are doing their funny little edits when Karen's going.
I
hate them.
I do too.
I hate them.
Oh, I love it. When Karen's going to shake Mia's hand and it's like acquaintance shake in like quotes. And then
like, that's
Robin's
fine.
Bad
like that, like,
meter.
Like, I don't like the bad meter. Mm-hmm. I don't like them making the workout class into an 80s like sitcom show. Like,
no,
I think we need it.
The season's so bad.
That's what shows that it's a bad season. Yeah, it's like the Hail Marys. Like, I can visibly see the Hail Marys.
But at least
they're
putting in work.
You wouldn't need to do that if it was a good season.
That's not the producer's job. Isn't to make a good season. It's to work with what they got. And they're working.
Hold on. We're getting
the editors. Oh my god, Annie, I can't do this. I can't. I can't do the fourth wall break. I get it.
Guys, I think that, listen, this podcast is very funny today. It's off the rails. I'm liking the direction of the newbie that we're going into. Like, I like NECA and I like that venture. I'm just starting to think that, like, we've had these like 4 to 5 OGs on, and listen, I'm an OG, like, diehard. Like, I'm a Vicky Gunvalson. I'm gonna be Reed for a second. I'm a Vicky Gunvalsoninator. I want the OGs, and you know, but I think that's like kind of the beauty of Housewives, is that sometimes the OGs can leave for a little bit and then they can like develop some things and then they can come back into the mix. And I think that there needs to be a couple cuts of some OGs. I think that Robin's gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, it's been too, the storyline has run stale.
But the storyline for me has run stale.
The storyline has run stale.
I'm over it. I'm done.
I could see this being her last season for real, though, because I think that she only stayed on because, maybe not only, but like, I think she's had to stay on because of the Juan drama. But now, like, that we're all like, never has a cheating scandal been so uninteresting to us all. Like, you don't care, we don't care. Like, I feel like this is the least interesting, the least juicy cheating scandal of all time ever. So like, that should tell you how much we don't give a fuck about this bitch. Like, she needs to go.
Yep, that's exactly it. We don't care.
And I hate to say it too, but listen, Ashley, Ashley might need to get the chop too, because I agree with you, Annie. Like, she completely took, like, and I love that they were playing the flashbacks with, like, NECA, because, like, NECA was not being shady about Wendy, like, whatsoever. She was like, is she a doctor of medicine? And then she said it, like, or for philosophy. Oh, philosophy, cool.
He was just asking questions to, like, yeah. And then they cut to her confessional, and Ashley was like, the producer was like, or whatever, was like, oh, but you kind of made it seem like she was talking shit. And Ashley was like, yeah, I really fucked up on that one.
Yeah, she, like, knew, because she's like, I'm still in the mindset of, like, having to create stuff. And it's just, like, awkward. So I think we need, I think Potomac needs some new champagne flutes. I really do.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's only, we're only a few episodes in. Two episodes.
Yeah. But
it's sad because I've said this before and I'll say it again. Potomac was top tier, and I hold it at that top tier level. And when it's not hitting that, same thing with Atlanta, same thing with Roni. Like, when Roni, like, Roni was my favorite that last season, I will admit, was rough. I don't think that it should have gotten completely scrapped from Oblivion, but it was rough. It was rough. So I think we just need to tweak a little bit. I think we need to steer the ship before it gets to, like, Atlanta, where they're like, oh my God, we need to recast the whole show.
You know?
Well, I think there's, like, just coming back to Ashley, I just think there's, like, a really fine line between someone who is messy and is stirring up drama, and then someone who's just, like, literally, like, telling, like, blatant lies and creating this fake drama. Like, I just feel like that's where she's just going way too far and making it not fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not have a good time. So
before we end this, I just have to say one quote.
Okay.
I am not drinking. I'm only drinking wine because it's nutritional and you can get it at the grocery store.
Period.
Let's all live our lives with that.
Great. When she said that.
Yes.
When she said, I drink wine because it's at a grocery store.
It's by the fruit aisle. It's a grocery.
I'm like, yeah, I say the same thing at Trader Joe's.
Yeah. If we can get it at Trader Joe's and Aldi, like,
yeah,
it's healthy.
You know what else you can get is a Four Loko.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's basically a kombucha.
Hey, get it. You know what you can get also? A Lime-a-Rita.
Ooh, those hit in college.
I love a Lime-a-Rita. I really do love a Lime-a-Rita.
It's true. It's got lime. It's good.
Yeah, it's healthy.
Come on, Mia. So there's our Potomac recap. We're still going to cover it the rest of the season. And believe it or not. We're hoping for the best. You know, when, you know, it's pouring at BravoTV.com right now. And, you know, not every rain shower can be golden.
Okay. Well, can we? We need
Zach,
to talk.
I
think we've taken it too far.
It's too much. All right. Wrap it up. Producers, cut the cameras. Sorry. I had to provide some kind of, like, weird gay horniness joke since Mo's not
on
the
market. Yeah, we needed it.
Anyways, we miss Mo. We miss Reed. That is our episode, you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. You guys know where to find us at @about_Bravo on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. We're going to be coming out with so much more content. We've got some Patreon episodes in the vault, Taylor Swift style. They're coming out. It's About Bravo's version. So make sure you subscribe to the Patreon. We really appreciate it. Just a little bit goes a long way. And thank you guys so much for listening. And find us on SignChat. Use the code in the link. So thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.